All right, listen. We love the Masters. We love talking about it beforehand. We love talking about it during. And then Monday comes, we're always talking like Giants or whatever. No, 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 no. We need to spend some time talking about the history that was made. Who better to talk to than our man, Mark Cannizzaro of the New York Post? He's back in Jersey already, Paulie.
Yeah, of course he is.
I just saw a picture, by the way, of Hideki Matsuyama at an airport connecting to Chicago with the green jacket draped over the waiting lounge chair. He's just sitting there like a regular dude waiting to board his flight. It's hilarious, man. So it's funny. Hey, they don't treat, you know, once you leave the gates, you're just a regular dude in a green jacket. Mark Cannizzaro, Marky Mark, good morning to you, my brother.
Murphy, Murph, Paulie Mack, good morning, San Francisco. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you're the Masters champion, what do you do in connecting anywhere, by the way, if I could just toss that out?
You know what? Our dear friend Robert the Aussie, who we've had on the show, Robert Lucetich, he said, he retweeted and said, keep hitting refresh on that upgrade, Hideki, because he's on his phone, you know? Oh. You know? I don't know. Maybe he's a man of the people, Mark. He's a man. Remember, your guy, Philly Mick, the next morning went to the Krispy Kreme in the green jacket, right?
Okay.
He did indeed. But, yeah, but that's a whole different deal than sitting in an airport toiling and waiting for a connecting flight.
I know, man. Here, I'll send it to you right now on the phone. Well, listen, you're the man. You love... You always say when you come on, we talk about all the great stories, you're like, don't give me a buzzkill. Don't give me a buzzkill. I offered you Sung J.M., who did not make the cut, by the way. And Hideki Matsuyama, listen, I know he's not known very well in America. And no, he does not speak English as his first language. However, there's tremendous history attached to this. You've been to so many of these, Mark. How do you rank it in terms of history, buzz, feeling?
Well, historical, you're right, Murph. It was a massive deal. You know, I mean, most of us here in this country can't really comprehend it. It's hard to comprehend, you know, the way Japan views its athletes, the Japanese people, and how they revere their athletes, and the fact that, you know, that country, which has produced some pretty damn good golfers, had never produced a major championship amongst any male players, which is kind of surprising. And so that pressure for all of these Japanese male golfers has continued to build. And, you know, in the last few years, it's been laid at the, you know, doorstep of Hideki. And he's had some, you know, I don't want to say near misses, but, you know, he'd finished at top six in all four majors. He's, you know, he's won some pretty big golf tournaments, but, you know, no major. So historically, it was a huge achievement. I have to say, you know, it's funny. I bumped into Jaime Diaz, our good friend who works at the Golf Channel, used to be, you know, editor of Golf Digest, in the airport, in the Atlanta airport this morning, and we just had a quick chit-chat. And, you know, the golf, to be honest with you, was a little underwhelming yesterday, if we're going to be critical about it. I mean, if I would say, and this is what I said to Jaime, if Schauffele doesn't put that ball in the drink on 16, you know, maybe that's an epic finish one way or the other, you know, whether it's, you know, Hideki birdieing 18 to stab him off or whatever, you know. But the fact that it just, I mean, Hideki looked like he had two hands on the bus wheel on 18. I mean, he was hanging on for dear life. And, yeah, I mean, even that last swing, you know, from the middle of the fairway with a wedge, you know, just kind of weakly putting it into the right bunker. I'm not trying to kill the guy, don't get me wrong. I mean, his accomplishment is magnificent. And what he did on Saturday afternoon really won the golf tournament for him. But yesterday was not what I would call an epic day of golf, you know, in terms of, you know, what took place. I mean, frankly, I think probably the most impressive guy out there was Will Zalatoris, who I think is going to be a star. I wrote him a couple times during the week. So, yeah, it was a weirdly underwhelming, you know, technically speaking, golf day, but historically it was, you know, it was a big deal. And you know what? What I add into that, Murph and Mac, is the pressure that was on Hideki Matsui. I mean, Matsui, I just went baseball on you, boy. The pressure that was on Hideki Matsuyama is something that I don't think any player can probably appreciate that's not from that country. And because of that, I kind of cut him some slack for you know, for blowing his ball over near where the media center used to be off the first tee, and you know, off to the right in the pine trees there, and for frankly just kind of looking like he was hanging out there dear life. I cut him some slack there because I think this guy was carrying the pressure of a nation on his shoulders, and for that I give him massive credit. But if we're just purely looking at the golf, it wasn't an extremely memorable day, in my opinion.
I think that's entirely fair. I think everything you said is very fair. It is historic, and as time goes on, people will not remember that he just hung on for dear life coming home. It will go down as the year that, you know, he won the first major for a Japanese male, for sure. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. There's no like, what was the signature shot? And I guess, Mark, the answer is Shoffley's tee shot on 16.
It really was. You know, so many times in these Masters, you know, not that Shoffley was blowing this because he was coming from behind, you know, and he started the day four behind. But, you know, we so often remember some of these Masters for the guys that failed, right? You know, I mean, you know, obviously Rory, you know, going back years, but, you know, the ones that I've covered, you know, Rory in 11 and, you know, Norman in 96, Spieth in 16 trying to repeat and, you know, putting the ball in Rae's Creek. You remember those days. You want to remember the Masters for Phil, you know, threading the needle through the trees from the pine straw, you know, and things like that. You know, guys just stuffing shots, you know, even, you know, going back to Schwartzel birdieing the last four or five holes or whatever it was to win, whatever. So, yeah, to some degree, if you're just looking at the golf, you're remembering it by the fact that Schauffele was making this spirited charge, you know, up until he got to the 16th hole and got too aggressive and threw it away. And you know, the other thing is nobody else really challenged. You know, Justin Rose was on a treadmill since Thursday's first round. Spieth was back and forth, you know, he couldn't really spirit a proper charge. So, you know, there was nobody that really, other than Zalatoris, like I said, the young 24-year-old kid, by the way, grew up playing at the Cal Club, don't you know? Our good friends Al Jamieson and crew over there. Let's call it where it is. And, you know, even had a little early lesson from the great Ken Venturi there. You know, other than Zalatoris, I don't feel like anybody really sat there and kept the pressure on. And even Zalatoris, you know, when he did put the pressure on, fell back a few times during the day yesterday. So, hey, listen, I don't want to be sounding like we're taking anything away from Hideki. You know, I mean, you know, look at what he did on Saturday afternoon. Everybody else was running in place on Saturday afternoon after that weather delay, and he went out and basically seized the golf tournament. So, you know, more power to him.
That's it. Well said. I mean, the Saturday, he won it on Saturday. And I know they say it doesn't start till the back nine on Sunday. This was an exception because he won it on Saturday. And what he did, Marky Mark, was he built up enough capital that he could spend on Sunday. You know, like
he did.
He walked onto the course with a four shot lead, and he's like, "I'm gonna spend it. I'm gonna spend it." And he got up to six on the. It's interesting. He had a six shot lead on the 12th tee, and he won by one. So that's it. That's spending. You know, Faldo kept saying, you know, on 12 when he made bogey, and on, you know, you have strokes to spend them now. And I was like, you're right, Nick. In fact, Mark, we should probably talk about for the divot heads out there, the strategy play on 15. Two-prong question. One, you know, what's he doing going for that green and two with a four-shot lead? The corollary to that is laying up that easy because it still has water in play on the third, even if you lay up. That's one. And then two, I have to say, if you're going to tip your cap to Matsuyama's winning of the tournament on Sunday, it's how he played that bogey on 15, how he was able to get in six.
Yeah, listen, there's two things at play here. First of all, by nature, Hideki is a very aggressive player. In fact, talking to a couple of guys after the Saturday round, you know, they attributed that, you know, to his run there because that the golf course got slightly softened by the rain and the moisture, and, you know, his aggressive nature ended up paying off because those greens were holding, you know, instead of repelling balls or whatever. So, you know, he played lights out, and he was playing lights out his way, which is the aggressive way. The other thing was, I feel like, you know, and Hideki addressed it to some degree last night. You know, he certainly felt, you know, Schauffele's footsteps. You know, Schauffele was on a birdie run, And he figured Shoffley was going to at least birdie 15, maybe even eagle it. And so I think that got into his head a little bit. He's like, you know what, I'm going to stay aggressive. So he went after it. You know, in retrospect, and even Shoffley afterwards said he was taken aback by the fact that Hideki went for it went for that par 5 and 2 on 15 rather than playing the more conventional, safer out. You know, obviously, in hindsight, play it more conservatively, that would have been the play. But, you know, and yes, you mentioned the water's still in play on the third shot, but the water's in play with a wedge in your hand. I mean, these players are the best players in the world. You ought to be able to flip a wedge on them. What's a pretty large green with a third shot. So yeah, I was a little surprised that he went after it, and obviously there's some adrenaline there because they came in hot. You know, obviously
it's shot there. Screaming. So let's talk about then the drop. This is the key play, I think, where he deserves credit to make a six from there, because there was a don't give me that chip with the Masters on the line on a Sunday. That tight lie chip to water on the back of the green. On a slick, and he laid it up on the apron, just what he needed to do. That chip was massive.
It was exquisite. There's no question about it. And, it reminded me a little bit of the chip that he made on 18 at the end of his round on Saturday.
And Marky, to interrupt you a little kick, the one on 13 that people aren't really talking about, his third on 13 yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, it's funny. Everybody talks, when you talk to other players about him, it's funny, nobody has any personal anecdotes about Hideki because he's so quiet, you know, which is part of kind of what I wrote about but they all talk about his ball strike. But, you know, what really won this golf tournament was his short game, you know, just as you just referenced there, you know, 13 and 15, you know, again, 18 on Saturday when he hit
insane.
The ball into the walkway,
insane.
You know, I mean, that's
insane.
An impossible up and down, so. Yeah, there's no question about it, and he deserved this thing in every manner. You know, I feel like the first part of our segment here, I don't want to make it sound like
you were honest. He shot 73. It's the highest final round by a winner since Immelman in 08. So
yeah, I actually felt going into the day I felt he needed to shoot 70 to win. And so, and that just gives you the idea, it's an illustration about the fact that nobody really made a proper run at him.
They were
low scores.
Like 1 minute left, just on Shoffley on 16. He just, we played his sound. He's like, I'm just filing it in the memory bank. I should have hit a cut. I hit a draw, and I'm going to keep coming back here. And he's going to win one.
Oh, he's good. He's good. He's got a good attitude. He's a very confident dude. And he's going to, the problem is now, he needs to win one of these things. I don't want to say soon because he's still young, but he has racked up a lot of runaround finishes. You know what I mean? it's time, in his mind, I'm sure. And the more the external pressure builds as well. But I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to win one. And I really believe that, I know I've referenced Alec Doris a few times, but I came away so impressed, not just by the guy's game, but he just acted like he belonged, and that's half the battle.
And great Cal Club shout out. In fact, if you go to Zalatoris' Twitter page, he has a picture of his banner picture is Cal Club. Check it out.
It's this tiny little kid. Oh, is it not the shot of him as a little blonde?
No,
kid,
it was a shot of a little shot, that. And then that banner shot. Go look at his Twitter. Isn't that's the clubhouse? That's the back view of the clubhouse.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, there's
a great picture of him that Al actually texted me.
Go check it out. Go to his Twitter feed right now. And by the way, avowed and outspoken fan of the San Francisco Giants, buddy. Don't you know?
Well, right? then that's an even more of a shame that he didn't close the deal on the damn thing yesterday.
Right. Well, I got him
jacket over to the ballpark.
I got him thrown out of first pitch. I got him in a green jacket thrown out of first pitch next year. All right, that's the deal. Okay.
Perfect.
Marky Mark, you're the man. Let's find an excuse to hook up soon, all right?
Boys, good talking to you always. Paulie Mac, love you, miss you. Come
you
back
too,
to Jersey, my friend.
I will when I can. Please. Believe me, buddy. I'll see you soon, man.
In mourning, the lovely Candace sent the text to you and me and Paulie, the passing of our Frank Pepe's owner in New Haven.
Right? Oh, poor
unbelievable. Man. Yeah, unbelievable.
Who was it? Yeah. One of you two wrote.
And young, too, by the way. Not an old man.
One of you two wrote, great man.
That was me. Well, I had to say it like it was. And, Marky, there's only one way to honor this great man's legacy. You got to get up there and get yourself a pie ASAP. And when you do, continue to send me those beauty shots, please.
Well, I got news for you. My wife and I are driving up to driving up this weekend to Newport, and I believe there will be a stop on Wooster Street in New Haven.
I need the picture. Send the picture, buddy.
Please send the pictures.
I always do.
Okay.
Thanks, brother.
Take care, brother.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.